Campana's first lighter program. From the little theater off Times Square. Starring Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy with an all-star cast presented by Campana, the quality name in cosmetics. It's theater time on the Great White Way, and tonight is a red-letter date on this season's calendar, for it marks the opening of a brand new play on Broadway at the little theater off Times Square, focal point of New York's exciting and gay entertainment district. And here is our host for the evening, the genial first nighter.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm delighted you can be with us this evening. Tonight may well be one of the most exciting nights of the theater season, so let's be on our way, shall we? Here's my cab. Won't you step in? All right, driver, the little theater. Up Broadway, across 42nd Street, and into the famous Times Square district, a sparkling wonderment of millions of electric lights and swirling happy crowds. And over there, where the lights are brightest, is the little theater. Beyond.
Crowd me, boys, but I think that Diana Lynn.
The women around that guy must be some movie star.
Have your tickets ready, please.
Good evening, Mr. First Nighter. The usher will show you to your seat.
Thank you. We'll go right in. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of one of the season's gayest theater parties. Ushers are showing distinguished and fashionable ladies and their handsome escorts to reserved seats and boxes. And each glamorous lady coming in seems to cause more of a flurry than the last one. I see Frank Worth and the famous First Nighter Orchestra in the pit. But to this evening's play, the program says it's a comedy mystery entitled The Tin Box. The author is Gene Cromer. In the leading roles are Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy. The part of Louis Lindstrom, an unemployed waiter who loves mystery shows, will be played by Mr. Soule. And Miss Luddy will take the part of his wife, Gladys. Supporting this talented pair will be Willard Waterman, David Ellis, Larry Dobkin, and other equally famous names. Now the house lights are being dimmed, and in just a moment we'll hear the play.
Curtain,
there's the signal for first curtain. The house lights are out, and here's the play.
Louis, the way you're doing it, you ain't never going to have your own restaurant. I think the only way to save money is for you to go to work.
Well, go back to sliding plates along the counter. Where's that going to get us?
Louis, I don't see how you're ever going to open a restaurant without money.
Flattered. Did you ever study finance?
No.
Did you ever read about how the smart people got where they are?
By not working?
They don't use their own money.
They don't?
No. They always operate with somebody else's money. That's how it's done, and that's how I'm going to do it.
Well, it don't sound honest to me, Louis. I got a responsible job. I'm a cashier. I handle money. I can't afford to get mixed up in anything crooked, or I'm through being a cashier for the rest of my life. And then where are we?
Look, Gladys. It isn't crooked, see? It's plain everyday business. There's no sense in using your own money when you can just as easy use somebody else's.
Whose else's?
I don't know yet. I'm working on it. I'm working all the time, Gladys. Up here, not with my hands. That's what counts, brain work. I listen to mystery shows, I think, and I read all the time.
What do you read?
You want ads, mostly. Business opportunity. Paper's full of them every night.
Personally, I think the help-wanted mail columns is more practical.
That reminds me. I got to grab tonight's paper. Leave me have a nickel, would you, Gladys?
Okay, take it out of my purse.
How about a little extra for a cigar?
Well, make it a nickel cigar. People won't know the difference unless they get close.
Nice. 10 cents. Yeah, I'll be right back.
Well, be careful. There's been a lot of hold-up lately.
Yeah, he'd hold me up. Nobody'd hold me up except for a laugh.
Sometimes people get slugged in between laughs. Well, hurry back.
Sure, Gladys. I'll take the shortcut through the empty lot.
If I had $1 million, then yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo. What's this?
Box. Well, that looks like metal. Wonder what... Hey, it's heavy. And it's locked. Must be something valuable inside. Must be something mighty valuable. If I had $1 million, then yoo-hoo.
If the hand...
Can I take a look at that package, mister?
Huh? Who are you?
You wouldn't know if I told you. Let me see that package.
The package?
Yeah. Tin box you carry under that newspaper. What's the matter? You scared? Let me see it.
No. Why should I be?
I don't know, but you ain't doing nothing about it.
It doesn't belong to you. It's some personal stuff I'm taking home.
Personal?
Yeah.
Like money, for instance?
No, not money. There's nothing valuable in there. Keep your hands off that box.
Okay, if you want to get tough. But I ain't through with you. Not by a long ways.
All right, what's the idea? You scared me out of my wits with that pounding.
Hey, leave me in, Gladys. Close the door.
Who's keeping you out? What's that you're carrying under the newspaper?
That's what I'm going to find out. Hey, give me the hammer and a chisel, quick.
The hammer and chisel? What for?
I'm going to pry this box open. Hurry up, will you?
Sure, Louis, sure. You act like you just robbed a bank. I never saw you that excited in my life.
Come on, make it snappy, Gladys.
I will. What are you doing now?
Pulling down the shade.
Why?
I got my reasons. Hurry up, will you?
Here.
Oh, thanks.
What's this all about, anyway? Where'd you get that box? You didn't rob a bank, did you?
No, I didn't rob a bank, did I? I found this in an empty lot right across from a banana shoe factory.
Well, what are you so excited about? It's probably full of old banana peel.
Banana peel. It's full of money, that's what it's full of.
How do you know?
Because a tough-looking gunman tried to take it away from me.
A gunman?
Yeah. He had a gun under his coat. I seen it when he lifted his arm to grab the box.
How do you know what was in it?
He knew. Don't ask so many questions.
How else do I find out anything?
Gladys, he wanted the box because he recognized it, see? And he said something about there being money in it.
Stolen money, maybe. Don't get mixed up in anything like that, Louis.
Stop worrying, will you? Leave me do all the worrying and all the thinking, and we'll both be rich.
All right, if you say so.
Just a simple little snap lock. Ought to open it about one more good push. There, that does it.
Louis, it is money. The box is full of new green bills.
Yeah. 50, 20, 10, 5. They're all in bundles. Hey, let's see how much there is.
I'll help you count. Here, let me take these.
30, 40, 45. Here, you can count the singles.
Hey, look. It's all counted for us. Here's a cashier's slip.
Yeah, let's see. There's $10,000. There's $10,000 here. Gladys, $10,000!
And now, Mr. Keating, will you tell why tomorrow will be such an important day for thousands of ladies?
Yes, tomorrow scores and scores of women will make a new discovery about their personal beauty. They'll step up to their favorite cosmetic counter and say to the clerk,
I'd like a compact of that new tinted cream makeup, Magic Touch.
And then each woman will discover many thrilling things. First,
why, it's so quick, so magically easy to apply.
Yes. To apply Magic Touch, you use just your fingertips. No water, no sponge. Simply stroke your fingers over the creepy surface of Magic Touch. Apply lightly to face and neck, then blend. Magic Touch spreads so easily. Blends with your skin better than any cream makeup yet invented due to a magic new ingredient.
Why, it actually makes my skin look poreless, flawless.
You'll never know how pretty you can be until you try Magic Touch. It's a sheer makeup. Not heavy, not mask-like. It gives you a delicate Dresden doll-like complexion. A fresh, almost transparent loveliness. A younger-looking look.
And it stays just the same for hours and hours without retouching.
That's true. Magic Touch clings and clings. Stays on until you take it off.
I don't need any powder, either.
No, no powder. If you prefer the new luminous look. And I don't mean shiny. Yes, if you prefer the duller matte finish.
I'm so pleased about the modest price of Magic Touch.
Yes, it's a beauty bargain in a white and gold compact. The large size costs only $1. The special introductory size, only 39 cents. There's no finer quality at any price. So why not join the thousands of women who tomorrow will discover Magic Touch? Truly, you'll never know how pretty you can be until you try Magic Touch.
Curtain, second curtain. First night is a hurrying down the aisle to their seats, the lights are dimmed, and here's the second act of The Tin Box.
Holy smokes, $10,000.
Yeah. Gee, I wish my hands would stop shaking. Do you know what this means, Gladys?
No, I ain't had time to think, and besides, you told me not to.
Yeah. Oh, boy. What a joint, a place I could furnish for dough like that. No smelly hash house like the Regis Cafe. I could fix up a place that would make the Regis look like the city dump.
But Regis is a perfectly respectable family restaurant.
Sure. Measly little 20-foot counter and tables for ladies. I'd have a 40-foot counter with a black marble top, 50 tables and upholstered chairs, padded carpets over the whole floor.
All for $10,000?
Easy. We can get fixtures on credit if we have to. And Gladys, you won't be punching a cash register anymore.
No?
No. You'll be the cook.
But Louis, ain't you going too fast? Maybe we got no right to keep this money. You said it belonged to a gunman.
I didn't say it belonged to him. I said he wanted to take it away from me.
It's the same thing. He knew what was in the box, so it must have been his.
Gladys, where would a gunman get $10,000 unless he stole it?
I don't know, but if he stole it, wouldn't it belong to the people he stole it from?
How would we know who he stole it from? Yes, I think this money rightfully belongs to us.
You do?
Sure, we got it, haven't we?
Huh?
Possession is 9 points of the law. Haven't you ever heard that before?
No. Only when I was a kid, we had a saying, finders, keepers, losers, weepers.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing, only in legal words.
Just the same, I got an idea the law's a little different when you're grown up.
Now, listen, Gladys, I'll explain the law to you. If you find something of value, you got to make a reasonable attempt to locate the owner. You got to take that chance. Of course, if you can't find them, then you're the owner.
Even when it's something like $10,000 of stolen money? Are you sure, Louis?
No, I'm not sure. Let's look in the paper.
Here's the paper you brought home.
There's got to be something about it. Let me see it.
Louis, look at the headline.
Yeah, I see it, Gladys. I see it.
John Waverly kidnapped.
Oh.
Louis, you're shaking so I can't read the small print.
Prominent stockbroker kidnapped shortly after midnight this morning. His family's already been contacted by one of the gangs.
Look, it says arrangements have already been made for the payment of ransom.
Payment of ransom? So that's what I stumbled onto. The ransom money.
Louis,
huh?
What usually happens to a man who's been kidnapped if the kidnappers don't get their ransom money?
Oh, they find him dead somewhere.
That's what I thought. You got to return this money right away.
To who? The Waverleys or the police?
What?
And get arrested as one of the kidnappers? Gladys, do you know what you get for kidnapping in this state? The electric chair.
Well, how's about a man who stops you on the street? He's one of the gang did the money to him.
Where can I find him?
Maybe he's still hanging around.
That's what I'm afraid of. If he sees me first, I'm as good as dead.
Could you sneak it back where you found it? Tonight, for instance, while it's dark.
I don't know, Gladys. Gee, I wonder what Sam Spade would do.
I think I've got an idea.
Right now, I could use one.
The man who stops you doesn't know me. I could sneak the money back to the empty lot.
Uh-uh. They'll probably be watching that spot. You're not going to get yourself shot just because you got a husband who got too grabby. I'll take it over, all right. Only not in that tin box. I don't want to be seen with that.
We could wrap the money in some old newspaper.
Yeah, that's the thing to do.
Louis.
Huh?
You'll be careful, won't you? If anything happened to you,
I'll be careful, Gladys. And you know something?
What?
I'm beginning to think I'm not near as smart as I thought I was. Yeah, this must be the spot. Oh, gosh, it's dark.
What's the matter? Did you lose something around here?
Who, me? No, I didn't lose anything.
You better stand still. This gun's loaded.
Sure. I'm not going anywhere.
I know that better than you.
Oh?
What are you sneaking around in these weeds for? What did you lose?
Nothing. I didn't lose a thing.
No?
No.
Then maybe you found something.
I...
What are you sneaking around in these weeds for?
I was going to Central Avenue. Shortcut.
Through the weeds?
Hmm?
Don't you like the path over there, or is that too easy?
I thought I saw something over here in the brush. Well, I guess it wasn't anything. Nothing at all.
You saw something like what?
I don't know. Something shiny. I guess I was just seeing things.
It's pretty dark here to see something shiny.
Yeah, I guess it is.
What's in that package you're carrying?
This package?
Yeah, this package.
It's my laundry. I'm taking some stuff over to the laundry. They stay open late for me.
Yeah, they must. All right, get going.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be snooping around here.
Mm-mm.
Somebody might just take a notion to put a bullet in you. On general principles.
It wasn't the same one, Gladys. It was another member of the same mob. Sounded just like the Whistler. I tell you, I'm lucky to be alive.
You think he suspects you?
Of having the ransom money?
Yeah.
I guess I convinced him or I wouldn't be here to tell you about it. Those boys would just as soon kill a man as look at him. They'd rather.
And that's what they'll do to poor Mr. Waverly if they don't get their money.
Don't I know that? You'll never believe the money was left there in good faith. Never in 1,000 years. And the Waverleys don't even know they haven't got it.
Maybe we could phone the Waverly. We could explain how we got it by mistake.
Their wires are probably tapped. They'd trace the call and every cop in town would be at my throat before I could move. Who'd believe me, Gladys?
Nobody, I guess.
No. If I could only get that money back to the Waverleys. Hey, I could enclose a note telling them what happened. Then they'd know what to do and nobody could trace anything to me.
Couldn't you do it by mail?
Mail $10,000?
Oh.
Anyway, there's not that much time. It's got to be done tonight.
How?
The Waverly's address is in the paper. I'll tell you, I might get near enough to a window to toss it in, note and all. Sure. Yeah, let's write out a note and I'll get started.
There's some paper on the desk and, Louie.
Yeah?
Be sure to walk on Light Street.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take a streetcar and I'll have the money wrapped in newspaper, same as before. I'll be safe enough, don't you worry. Yeah, this is the place, all right.
Just a minute, you.
Yeah.
Where do you think you're going?
I nowhere in particular, officer.
No place to go, so you thought you'd drop in the Waverleys, is that it?
Not exactly. To tell the truth, I read about the kidnapping and I came here to look around.
Oh, one of them morbid sightseers, eh?
No, sir. I was really on my way home.
Well, I'd suggest you go there.
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
Now, what's in that package?
The package?
Yes, the package.
It's some old shoes. I walk a lot.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do. Oh, they were out of the regular wrapping paper.
Well, all right, Mr. Moore, but keep moving. And should you have any ideas about seeing the back end of the house, you'll find police on all sides. Go on, get moving before you get yourself into trouble.
I'm licked, Gladys. I don't know what to do. It's like a nightmare with the police closing in on one side and a mob of killers on the other.
Poor Mr. Waverly, he's as good as dead.
Yeah, and I killed him just as sure as the kidnappers will kill me. And they will, Gladys, as soon as they find out I took their ransom money. All because I grabbed onto a tin box and wouldn't let go. I was smart, Gladys. Oh, what a smart guy I am.
Let's go to bed, Louie. You can't do nothing more tonight. Maybe it won't be too late tomorrow.
Gee, I wish that'd be Ellery Queen. Hello?
Louie?
Yeah, Ellery? Gladys? Well, what's the matter?
Nothing's the matter. I'm calling from the restaurant. I was worried about you. Is everything all right?
Well, nothing's happened yet, only I got to get out of this house or I'll go nuts.
Oh, Louie, not yet. Not so we can think of something.
Think of something? My head's about to bust and I can't come up with a thing. I got to get away from these four walls, Gladys. I got to get out for a walk or go out of my head. I got to, Gladys. I tell you, I got to. What can I do? What can I do? Gee, I'm jumpy as a cat.
Oh.
Go away, kitty.
What's that black sedan parked in there for? Who are those guys getting out? Oh, one looks like the guy that first spotted me at the tin box. Yeah, it is. And the other one's probably the guy that caught me in the lot.
Is this the guy, Jim?
Yeah, he's the one. So I'm carrying the tin box. He was trying to hide it under a newspaper.
Yeah, how about it, mister? Is he telling me the truth?
Well, I was carrying some stuff home in a box, yeah. He tried to tell me it belonged to him, but it didn't.
Yeah, what kind of stuff? What was in the box? You better talk fast.
It was some fishing tackle.
It was a tin box. It was the same tin box that had the money in it. He's lying. Can't you see he's lying?
Fishing tackles carried in tin boxes?
You see?
Maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe you're lying. And that's a bad thing to do, Jim.
No, I'm telling you the truth. He's got the money. Search his flat if you don't believe me. He lives in that red brick building on the first floor.
How do you know?
Well, I saw him go in. I saw him go to the window and pull down the shade.
Sneak.
Say, now that I get a good look at you, haven't I seen you someplace before?
Well, I don't know.
Sure. I remember. In that vacant lot, you were snooping around.
Search yourself. You'll find out if I'm lying or not.
Yeah, maybe and maybe not. Come on, Jim. Let's get back in that car.
No. I tell you, I haven't got the money. What are you going to do to me? What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do to... Hey, wait. Leave him alone. I'm the guy you... Oh, he wouldn't listen to me. Oh, doggone it, I've just gone and killed another man.
Now then, Mr. Keating is approaching with a Mother's Day suggestion.
Yes, I have an idea for you for Mother's Day.
Oh, good. Mother's Day is Sunday, and I haven't a really good idea yet.
Any mother anywhere will welcome a large bottle of that famous hand lotion Italian Balm. But in addition to this gift, you must give her the secret.
The secret? What secret?
The secret to still greater enjoyment from using Italian Balm. Do this. Tell your mother to use Italian Balm beforehand. Before she works in the garden, before she dusts or washes woodwork, before she polishes silver or starts any other hand-soiling task. Italian Balm used beforehand will keep dirt and grime from becoming embedded in her skin. When she finishes her work and washes her hands, they'll be cleaner quicker, and they'll be soft and smooth and free of dryness.
That sounds like a wonderful idea, using Italian Balm as a beforehand protector.
It is, because Italian Balm is a rich, concentrated lotion, not thin, not watery. It contains a special protective ingredient imported from Iran. It helps to seal in the natural moisture and oils of the skin to seal out dust and dirt.
You know, I think my dad would like that idea, too. His hands get so grimy working in the garden or tinkering with the car.
Tell him, too. Italian Balm is sure to make a hit with all members of the family when it's used beforehand. Be sure it's Italian Balm, the protective lotion with the special protective ingredient.
Is that you, Gladys?
Sure, it's me. Who'd you think it was?
I see you brought a paper.
Have you read it?
No.
Look here, Louis, on the front page.
Waverly Rescue.
And he's alive. They caught one of the gang that was guarding him.
That's wonderful news. Let me read it. Excellent police work.
Huh?
Captured kidnapper won't talk, but police expect an early roundup of the rest of the gang.
Ain't that a relief? Now we've got nothing more to worry about.
Gladys, the rest of the gang is still at large, and Waverly can't identify him because it says he was blindfolded.
So what?
I can identify two of them. One of them's been taken for a ride, but the other one's still alive. I think he's the leader, and he knows I can identify him.
How did you get all this information, Louis?
The hard way. And you can bet your sweet life that mob leader's pretty desperate by now, too. And that means he's going to try and get me before the police get him.
Oh, dear. And I was so happy when I come home. Guess I'm just too dumb to tell good news from bad.
You've got to do something quick, Gladys.
What can we do? We got $10,000, and I wouldn't spend a single dollar of it for all the coffee in Brazil.
Yeah.
I had an idea I could open my own restaurant with somebody else's money. But I never thought it would be like this.
No, neither did I.
If this is what the smart boys go through, I'm happy to stay dumb. And that's what I've been, dumb. Nobody knows it now any better than I do.
Except me.
Yeah, except you. Tell you, Gladys, if I get one more chance, I'll never try to be smart again to help me.
Who's that?
That's one of the kidnappers. Well, it couldn't be anybody else.
You gotta get out of here.
Where can I go?
Anywhere. Go out the back door.
Oh, some of the gang are probably out there, too. I'd get chopped, mowed down as soon as I stepped outside.
Then I won't let them in. I won't open the door.
They won't give up that easy. They'll break the door down if they have to.
I could call the police. It's better to be arrested as a kidnapper than to be killed by one.
There's no time. Those fellas aren't going to stall around much longer.
What can we do? There must be something we can do.
I'm going to give myself up, Gladys. I'll take my rap.
No, Louis. I don't want you to die. I love you, Louis. I love you.
I love you too, Gladys. And you remember that if anything happens. Well, baby, this is it.
What's the matter, Lindstrom?
Huh?
You afraid to open the door?
How did you know my name?
It's on the mailbox. You mind if I sit down?
We don't want your money, Mr.
Marco. Gus Marco.
We don't want your money, Mr. Marco. It was all a terrible mistake.
So you do have the money?
Yes, we got it, and we'll give it right back to you right now. You do whatever you want to me, but leave the little woman alone. She ain't done nothing.
No?
No. Like she said, it was all a mistake. I found the money in the lot, but I didn't know it was ransom money. I tried to put it back, but you stopped me. She didn't have nothing to do with it. Now, it was all a mistake.
It sure was, Lindstrom. It sure was.
What are you laughing at?
Let's see that money, and I'll tell you.
Gladys, get the money out of the closet, would you?
Surely, right away.
You know, the trouble with you and your wife is you don't know how to read a newspaper.
Huh? Here's the money. We wrapped it in old newspapers. It's all there. You can count it.
You won't get very far with it. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Like I was saying, you and your wife don't know how to read a newspaper. You don't read anything but the front page.
And the classified ads, business opportunities.
And sometimes there's a lot of news on the third page, too.
What about the third page, Mr. Michael?
Officer Michael.
Oh, you're a cop?
A policeman?
A policeman, that's right.
But your pal, Jim, I thought you took him for a ride.
I did. In a squad car.
A squad?
Besides, he's not my pal. He's Jim Barnes, who carries the payroll for the Banner Shoe Factory. You see, we didn't believe his story.
What story?
That he got a heart attack while he was carrying the payroll.
Oh.
He dropped the money. Dropped the money in the empty lot and then wandered off in a daze. He was just coming to when he saw you with that tin box.
Then this ain't the ransom money, the money left for the Waverly kidnappers.
No, that's what I mean. On the third page of your newspaper, there was an article about the missing payroll.
Oh, Louie, ain't it wonderful? Now we really don't have nothing to worry about.
No, no, not a thing, except going to jail for keeping somebody else's money.
I guess you thought it was easier than making some for yourself. Huh?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, I'm ready to take my medicine.
I'll make a deal with you.
A deal? What kind of a deal?
I won't take you to jail if you'll promise to forget about easy money.
Oh. Gladys, give me the classified section. Turn to help wanted mail.
It won't be necessary, Louis. The Regis Cafe needs another man at the counter.
You, well, I guess that settles that. I'll take the money and leave you two alone, but let me give you some advice.
What?
Next time you see Jim Barnes, be sure you're on the other side of the street. He's liable to punch you right in the nose.
There's the dress on the last act of the night. You play at the Berlin Theater off Times Square. Listen to that ovation. The audience likes it. The plays are hit. This is the way in this lobby are getting round after round of applause. One week from tonight, you're cordially invited to join us at another premiere from the Little Theater. Next week's play is a romantic drama entitled Love in Summer, a tender human story that will pull at your heartstrings. Be sure to save the date, same time, same station. And ladies, remember, You never know how pretty you can be until you try Magic Touch. And now we move out of the theater and into the street.
Here's your cab, Mr. First Nighter.
Thank you. Good night.
Campana's First Nighter program, starring Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule, is a copyrighted radio feature. Tonight's play was pure fiction and did not refer to real people or actual events.
The First Nighter program came to you over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.